Our scripture comes out of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Start reading in verses 4 through 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. This is a great time of year in my family. I think I've probably said it before. So my family kind of experiences kind of birthday season right around this kind of turn in the year. So my oldest daughter, Lavender, she's got a birthday at the beginning of December. Then we have Jesus's birthday. And then this last week we had Ren's birthday. And at the end of the month we have Julia's birthday. So I like to kind of find myself February 1st broke. And kind of really just kind of worn out from just kind of the season of birthdays. But one of the things that Julie and I have kind of found over the last kind of 7 years is all those pictures that we documented, kind of those first days of our kids' lives right around this time of year, they keep popping up on our timelines and on our feeds and keep reminding us of kind of things that maybe we forgot about. We start to see a lot of firsts. And the kids, both girls, they love to sit down and kind of see some of these pictures of their firsts. So this was your first day. This was your first outfit. This was your first picture. This was your first visitor. And so we kind of document that. And we kind of tell the story of kind of where they've come from and what they've done. But one picture somehow has made it onto our refrigerator. And it's a picture of me kind of cradling and holding Lavender. And what it's a picture of is her first bath. So at the hospital where we were at in Virginia when I was going to seminary, after the baby was born, the next day, the hospital would have a class that kind of most of the dads or anybody who would like to come could come and kind of learn how to give the baby a bath. And so we learned how to kind of wash their hair. We learned how to kind of not to get soap in their eyes, all the things that dads need to be reminded of for babies, right? But I'm just kind of staring lovingly into her eyes, and kind of those big dark eyes are kind of staring up at me, and really just captures this amazing moment as kind of a young preacher and a dad. I'm just kind of staring down at this baby in my arms, and I'm like, man, I have my very own little baby to practice baptizing on. And it's funny because it's like really in that moment, I was really thinking, I was like, man, a couple more words in a congregation. We have ourselves a liturgy here. I was like, we can kind of recreate a sacrament just about any time we want now. Baptism has this way of kind of connecting us in that really special way. And so me kind of having this picture of my daughter and the first time kind of washing her hair, just something we've always kind of connected with. And we've always kind of, we keep it up on the refrigerator, kind of remind ourselves all the time. But baptism in a larger way, we talk about it in the life of the church all the time. But we really maybe sometimes don't go as deep into baptism as we can. And so I've kind of brought the baptismal font out today and have a chance to kind of talk about the water that we kind of deal with in baptism. So just kind of popcorn style some questions here. What does water do? What do y'all use water for? Washing? Yeah? What was that? Growing plants. Yeah, I like it. What else do we use water for? Hydration? We drink it? Yeah, we need it. What else? What do we use water for over here? Swimming? Yeah, we swim in it. So we use water for just about everything. We use it when we cook, we drink it, we bathe in it, we grow plants with it. I mean, it's this staple, this kind of necessity of life. And when we look at the baptism waters, with all the ways that we have understood it in these last couple responses, all we can really say is yes, 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 and yes. Of all these ways that we understand water, you clearly understand it as the sign and the symbol of God's grace as well. Because it is something that we use to water the world. It is something that we use to sustain us and to refresh us and to revive us. It's something that covers us, that we swim in. It's something that sweeps us away. It's something that's at times powerful. It's at times something that freezes us into place. Sometimes it's something that boils us up. And other times it's something that just sweeps us away and feels like we're completely out of control. You see, as common and as easy to understand water as it is, we also see how deep and mysterious it can truly be as well. There's something about these waters that are so different. And here in the Methodist Church, we have a tradition that anybody can come to experience these waters of baptism. That even the very youngest amongst us to the oldest amongst us can come and experience and be covered by God's grace. And how rich of an expression and a tradition that can be. And that me at 36 years old, my deepest understanding of God's grace, as much as my intellect can conceive of the greatness of God, the depth that God has for us in his love, and the dream that God has for in my life, that is infantile of an understanding to the real greatness and width and depth of God's love for us. And so as I was cradling my young daughter then at her first bath, and as I cradled her during one of their first baptisms, those curious and those expressive eyes grasped as much of a clear image of God as I can even in my very best understanding. And isn't that what we find as well, that it's often the youngest amongst us that truly show us the clear picture of who God is and the grace and hope that God brings. And so these waters, they are so deep. These waters, they're so reviving, but they are so mysterious. And of all these things that we think about the waters, of all these things that we think about baptism, we say yes to so many things. But there is one thing that baptism is not. And there's one thing that baptism will never be. And that's lonely. Baptism is never a lonely thing. In fact, when we look at the scripture that we were reading today, the scripture of Jesus and John in the river with the water, we come to a story that's found in all four of the Gospels. And it kind of sets the stage with John, sort of our famous kind of dusty, tumbly prophet out in the wilderness, kind of dressed in his camel robes with kind of bugs stuck between his teeth. And it says that he came and preached one sermon, but man, he preached that sermon hard. He preached baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it was such a good sermon that people would come from all over to hear John preach. But then something would happen when they were in those waters. And this message that seemed to come from the craziest of sources suddenly seemed to make the most sense of all. That your lives can be different from this point on. Now some began to think maybe there was something special about John, or maybe there was something unique about the waters in which he stood, but John quickly dismissed those thoughts as he said, there is one who will come after me that if you think I am something, this one I am not even worthy enough to stoop and untie the sandals of his feet, let alone for those feet to come into the same waters that I use. And as I baptize with water, here's one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And then one day, those sandals and those feet and that person arrived. And Jesus of Nazareth, he came and he stepped into the river with John. In some of the stories, John protested a bit, and he really questioned his qualifications, and he questioned that moment of, why should you come to be baptized? You should be baptizing me. And I think maybe we all struggle with this kind of qualification sometimes of, who in the world am I that God would use me, or that God would move within me? And so many people have wondered what Jesus was up to in this moment, of why the one who is without sin would come into the waters of a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And some say it was to kind of mark a pattern, or to kind of start showing the model of what discipleship was, to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. But I think even more than that, that there's something else going on. I believe that Jesus came to mark a turning point in his life, but also in the history of creation. Because as Jesus came up out of those waters with John, something happened that only happens in this scene. That as Jesus comes up, the heavens open up and the Spirit comes down. And then the voice of God is heard. You are my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. It's not very often you get the three faces of the way that God has shown us who he is in one place, at one time, in the river with John. Baptism is never lonely. And in fact, the river starts to get pretty crowded pretty quick. And even in our tradition, even when we celebrate baptism here, when we have an infant or we have a youth or we have an adult who comes to be baptized, they are not the only ones who come. In fact, they may be the only ones who are standing up here at the front with me, but each and every one of us are a part of this promise and the celebration and the sacrament and this ritual of what is occurring. And in fact, we take vows with each other, don't we? We promise to support each other. We promise to pray for each other. We promise to be there when you need us the most. We promise to be a family. And like every good family, we let each other down. Man, we argue with each other and we fight with each other and we bicker and we get all sorts of twisted up sometimes. And even as a church family, we're not always on the same page, but we are standing in the same waters. And the one who makes us one in our souls with God is the one who makes us one as a church in this world. And the very same waters that we experience cleanse us and revive us and sweep us into this world are the very same waters that flow through this church and flow through this community to prepare us to go and to do work in the world as well. In an incredible and in a powerful way, reviving us and sustaining us and marking that today can be the day that we will always be different from this point on, because we are living by ones who are marked, who are called, who are washed, who are revived, who are swept away in the waters of God's grace. In the last couple weeks, we've been thinking about this initiative of Scoot In. And it's a phrase that kind of tumbled out of our lay leader's mouth one day as she and I were kind of sitting at a school assembly of, man, wouldn't it be great for us to just kind of scoot in to make room for others? Now, what does it look like for our church to begin to kind of look towards the future by making these small things now that we are starting to plan for the people that God is going to touch through our ministry before they've even arrived? Just yesterday, all the leaders of the church, they gathered over in the founding church, and they wrestled with the vision and the mission of the church of where God is leading us in this year to come. And as each committee and as each team kind of wrestled with this mission of where God is going, they come up with goals and they came up with ideas of what God can begin to move in this community, in this world. And of how sometimes we're not always on the same page, but we're swept up in these same waters and we are one because the one who is with us, who baptizes us, makes us one. The one prayer that Jesus had for us before he left that was so powerful that, Lord, before I leave, I pray that my people are one. The word that kind of came out of this leadership meeting as they began to prepare was unity. And at the conclusion of all their planning, of all their visioning, of all their wrestling with the mission of the church, our leaders prayed in each of our worship spaces. They prayed in our sanctuary across the street, and they prayed here in Restore, that God would make us one. And one thing that we're starting to see over the last couple weeks is each month there's going to be one thing that God is calling us to do as a church. One simple thing that if you were to sit in your seat and say, Arthur, what is one thing that I can do to help my community? I'd say, here is one thing. Our one thing for January is signing up for mission trips and signing up for teams and ways that you might be able to help in the world, in the community, or here at this church. We've got mission trips that are starting in Appalachia in the summer. We've got a mission trip to Ecuador in the spring. We've got conference mission trips that are going to different reservations around the United States. We've got teams that are going to Church of the Reconciler in Birmingham every month to sit with friends that are experiencing homelessness, to share meals, to learn names and stories. If it's hard to get away, but you can come on Sunday mornings, man, I've got an opportunity for you to shake hands and to get to know people that you don't know right here in worship. To welcome each other as each and every Sunday we try to weave and craft a space to where people will experience God in some way. That this might be the space that somebody laughs for the first time in a week. That this might be the first space that somebody feels like God loves them and that they are appreciated. And the work in the ministry of just a greeter can truly turn a week around. And so be thinking about how God can use you this year. Is there a way that you can serve in the world that we can help connect you with? Is there a way that you can serve in this community, in this region? And if you're looking for somewhere to just help and kind of chip in here at the church, man, there are ways that we need you. Because we are going out into this world and this mission that God calls us as one. And God is moving us and shaping us in a way that we have never even fully grasped. The waters are too deep, they are too quick, and they are too wide. And yet, we are in this together. As the band starts to come back to kind of close out our worship this morning, we have an opportunity to come and to remember our baptisms. And the way that God has washed over us, and the way that God has covered us, and the way that God has swept us up in rivers that are difficult to comprehend sometime, and yet sustain us and bring us new life. The way that's easiest for us to be able to do this is as the band starts to play, I'll invite these two sections right here. If anybody in these sections would like to come and to touch the waters and receive the sign of the cross on your heads, feel free to come to the center aisle, and then you can come to the font. After these two sections are done, I'll invite these two sections to come and to touch the water and to receive the sign of the cross on your forehead. But to know that all of this is simply just a reminder of something that is already true in our lives and our hearts, that we are marked and called as God's children to be changed from these points on, to go forth in the world, to invite others to come to the waters and experience something that gives us life, that gives us hope, and gives us peace. And we do it all together. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty and precious God, we give you thanks. Lord, for the way that your life was poured out for us, but Lord, the way that you pour your life into us, that we might be filled up, that we might be poured out for this world. Because Lord, you sweep us up in waters that are too broad and too deep to fully comprehend, but Lord, they bring us the life that we never even knew that we needed. Lord, show us a way that we might be of a better life and a better hope to others. Lord, whether it's through serving others in different places, Lord, whether it's serving people here in Birmingham or Alabaster, Lord, whether it's serving right here in the local church, to be a sign of hope and encouragement for those who come to experience you. Show us how we can be a church and a life that pours out for others, that begins to scoot in to make space for you as we do all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.